The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 25, 1989 at New Talavan Farm in Carrier, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Chapter 19, Verse 65 through 77, and continues with a class from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 47. The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 25, 1989 at New Talavan Farm in Carrier, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Chapter 19, Verse 65 through 77, and continues with a class from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 47.
State of madness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was unsteady. Whatever he said or did was all symptomatic of madness.
Sarupa gosai tabe chinta phaila mone bhakta gana laya vichar khoila arudine.
Srup Damodar was very anxious, but then he had an idea. The following day he and other devotees considered it together.
Sabha bhakta mele tabe prabhure sadilo shankar pandite prabhu shande soailo.
After consulting with one another, they entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to allow Shankara Pandit to lie down in the same room with him.
Prabhu pada tole shankar korena shoyan prabhu tara upar koren pada prasaran.
The Shankar Pandit lay at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his legs upon Shankara's body.
Prabhu Pado Padhan Boli Tar Nama Hoilo Purbe Bidhure Jano Shishuka Barnilo.
Shankar became celebrated by the name, the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was like Vidura, as Sukadeva Goswami previously described him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pillow ki.
Iti bruvanam viduram dinitam sahasram sirshnas charanopadhanam prahishtaroma bhagavat kataya praniyamano munirabhya chashta.
When submissive Vidura, the resting place of the legs of Lord Krishna, had thus spoken to Maitreya, Maitreya began speaking, his hair standing on end due to the transcendental pleasure of discussing topics concerning Lord Krishna. Report. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.13.5.
Shankara korena prabhur pada sambahan jumaya porena toiche korena shoyan.
Shankara massaged the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but while massaging he would fall asleep and thus lie down.
Ughar ange poriya shankar nidra jai prabhuti apana khata tahare jurai.
He would lie asleep without a covering on his body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get up and wrap him with his own quilt.
Nirantar ghumai shankar sikra chetana bosi pada chapi kore ratri jagaran.
Shankar Pandit would always fall asleep, but he would quickly awaken, sit up and again begin massaging the legs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way he would stay awake the entire night.
Tarbhoye narana prabhu bahire jaite tarbhoye narana bitte mukhabja goshite.
Out of fear of Shankar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would neither leave his room nor rub his lotus-like face against the walls. Elila Mahaprabhu Raghunath Das Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vrikhe Kuriyache Prakash. This pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described very nicely by Raghunath Das Goswami in his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha. Svakiyasya pranar bhudasya disha goshtasya virahat pralapana unamadat satatam atikurvana vikaladhi dadhat bitao sasvadvadhana vidu garshena ruddhiram kshatotam gaurango Hridaya Uddhayana Mamadhayati. Because of separation from his many friends in Vrindavan, who were like his own life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman. His intelligence was transformed. Day and night he rubbed his moon-like face against the walls, and blood flowed from the injuries. May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise in my heart and make me mad with love. Emato Mahaprabhu Ratri Divase Prema Sindhu Magna Rohe Kapu Dube Bhashe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way stayed immersed day and night in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. Sometimes he was submerged and sometimes he floated. Eka Kale Boishakera Purnamashi Dine Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Mukakaroti vachalam pangunam gayate giring yatki patamahangabande Sri Gurung dinatadinam paramanandamadavam Vartamano nayo kalo
Vartamano nayo kalo
Guna vigyapako yata Evang janmanya yoreta Dharma dharma nidarsanam
Dharma dharma nidarsanam.
Translation. Just as springtime in the present indicates the nature of springtimes in the past and future, so this life of happiness, distress, or a mixture of both, gives evidence concerning the religious and irreligious activities of one's past and future lives. Translation with repetition. Just as springtime in the present, indicates the nature of springtimes in the past and future, so this life of happiness, distress, or a mixture of both, gives evidence concerning the religious and irreligious activities of one's past and future lives. Purport. Our past and future are not very difficult to understand, for time is under the contamination of the three modes of material nature. As soon as spring arrives, the usual exhibition of various types of fruits and flowers automatically become manifest. And therefore we may conclude that spring in the past was adorned with similar fruits and flowers, and will be so adorned in the future also. Our repetition of birth and death is taking place within time, and according to the influence of the modes of nature, we are receiving various types of bodies and being subjected to various conditions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport and translation to text 47, chapter 1, canto 6 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the history of the life of Ajahnila. The Yamadutas are making their presentation. Their logic and reason for why Ajahnila should be given to them so they can take him to Yamaraj for being punished. Because he's acted in a sinful way, so it's to be understood that in the future he could act in a similar way. Why should he be forgiven? The Yamadutas keep missing the point or ignoring the point or not realizing that the point about chanting the name of Vishnu at the time one leaves the body. Narayana Anta Smriti. Anyone who chants the name of Narayana at the end remembers Narayana at the end, remembers Krishna. While leaving the body, they are guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. So, but the Yamadutas, they weren't trained up in this particular point, groundly. So the fact that Achyamila had remembered Narayana, it didn't impress them very much. Later, they probably get some suitable instruction from Yamaraj. But while we take, in general, whatever they're saying, apart from that oversight, is certainly very profound in terms of understanding the nature of the material world. In the material world, some people, as explained in previous verses, are very happy. Some are mixed happy and distressed. And some are totally very distressed. Living in the hospital for a couple of weeks, you could see a lot of people who are in a very distressed condition. There was became good friends with all the neighbors in the hospital. Because we were in an area where we're supposed to walk. They said if I didn't walk a little bit, you'd get ulcers from the feeding in this to the hose and the nose. Put the food to the nose. So then we greet everyone. So there was a young lady and her husband was waiting outside all the time. She's getting worse. So he would be sitting outside completely in distress. Really. He said, you know, how are things going? He said, bad, bad. He's getting worse. She's getting worse. And he was really frustrated. Then he'd meet someone else. He said, I'm getting out tomorrow. Real happy. Getting out. Right? Nobody wanted to stay in the hospital. Didn't seem. Maybe there was someone who wanted to. I don't know. But he talked to one of the policemen. He was interested in reincarnation. And he said, especially after being in this hospital with you, the police were on guard. He said, I really don't want to take birth again in this material world. You know, maybe outside the hospital, everything would cover up. But they were bringing people in from motorcycle accidents with complete plaster over their face. And their heads broken in four places with cuts here. And all kind of. I was in the plastic. For some reason, there wasn't a room enough in the nose and throat section, so they put me up in the 9th floor of plastic surgery and some other, I forget, maxi there or something, some kind of things to do with the hair, but more with like plastic surgery and skin. So I wasn't in my own floor. But you see people coming in from all different accidents. Then it's a lot of suffering. You know, naturally in a hospital there's a lot of suffering. It seems the nurses, they get callous to the whole thing. They're not, maybe in the beginning they're compassionate, but at my floor there was so much compassion. I was pretty much, they're used to it, seeing everybody smashed up every day. But people that were there, they were naturally affected, and they like to get out. So you can see in a hospital that there's a lot of suffering, but maybe in the ordinary material world you think, well, it's really nice, it's a place to enjoy. Maybe one of the field trips should be for schools, you know, see the hospital. One of the persons died in that. They pulled his bed out because they didn't want to keep the same bed next to the. So it was like people were shook up. So it's different. You know, some people get better, some people get worse. Some people just stay there for a long time. So, like, hospitals are pretty hellish places. Although they make them nice and clean, not like the hospital in Krishnanagar. It's not even clean. Point is that this whole material world, sometimes we get in a little better situation and sometimes we're going to get in a hellish situation. But if we're here in the material world, we have to expect that we're going to be rotating between these different states. Maybe when we're young, life looks really nice. Then when you get old, then it looks different. Maybe when you're healthy, that's all you think, let me enjoy. Then when you're real sick, you just think, how can I get healthy? So Krishna consciousness is meant for people to be more intelligent, more conscious, to be more pragmatic. Sometimes people criticize that, well, Krishna devotees don't use their free will or something. But actually the devotees are being more pragmatic about life, seeing it from a broader spectrum. That life isn't just happiness, life is a, material life is a mixture of happiness, distress, and intense distress. And people go through these different stages. Lord Chaitanya said, Kabe swarga utai. Sometime we go to heaven, like a demigod enjoying all kind of sense gratification. Kabhi naraka dubai. Sometimes we go to hellish situation where it's suffering, complete horrible suffering. Dhanda jana raja jana nadite jubai. Just like a king puts a person on a dunking stool in the water of the river. Sometimes we get a gasp of air. Sometimes we're practically drowning. So material nature tries to present a very happy situation to get us in the mood of enjoying. But then once we're hooked on enjoying, then all of a sudden things change sometimes and we're put in anxiety and sometimes we're put in distress. So the devotees, they know that this is the nature of material life. Sometimes somebody looks happy. Just like I was driving on a highway in India going to a Sankirtan program and I was following behind a truck about 100 feet in my car, rented car. And then all of a sudden, you know, India roads are very narrow. There's just two lanes with no line in the middle, except for maybe the one between Delhi and Vrindavan, Agra. It's a little wider. But this is just like kind of a two-lane national highway. You see a lorry, a truck coming from the other direction, approaching the truck that was in front of us. All of a sudden, from behind that truck, there came a little pickup truck, all decorated with banners and loudspeakers and kids hanging all over it, filled with teenage kids. They're going out for some kind of a picnic outing. And in India they do this in the month of December. It's called Posh Picnic. So they had the loudspeakers blaring cinema songs and things, and they're like in a real, really enjoying, you know, and then this pulls right out. And I said, there's not enough room to pass the lorry and get by the other lorry that's coming. It seemed like very close because the two lorries were quickly approaching. Somehow this driver, he zipped right over and then tried to get in between the two lorries. I said, I just looked so close to me. I just started chanting, Hare Krishna. And sure enough, there wasn't enough room. As he was trying to get in between the two lorries, pow, one lorry hit the pickup and kind of just rubbed across the lorry that was in front of us. And it just started heading straight towards my car. Then I was really worried. First I was worried for them, I was worried for me, for us, for the devotees in the car. They're craziness. Now we were at danger. He's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I didn't know what to do because the driver, he didn't know what to do either because coming straight towards us. If we go out in the middle of the road, then the other lorry's coming. If we go on the side in the ditch, you know, that's not a nice place to go. All of a sudden, the other truck from behind them, somehow it got through and just smashed the side of the one lorry. Then somehow the other lorry from behind, boom, just hit it. And it hit it at such an angle that it just got pushed right in front of us and missed us by like 3 inches. Just went off into the ditch and hit a tree. And then the other lorry of the truck coming smashed in the side of our car, but just pushed in the side of the rented car. But we didn't get really any serious injuries. Then we went out and tried to help the kids that were hurt, you know, on a bus stop, and we helped lift up the kids that were injured into the bus, and we took them off to some hospital. They were like in such an enjoying mood, picnic and blaring with their loudspeakers, playing, you know, the latest popular songs. And next minute, they're, you know, being taken off to the hospital, totally fried, totally injured. So material life is like that. Padam, padam, yadi padam. Every day a step, there's danger. You never know what's going to happen. But normally people are in such ignorance, they just think, okay, I got to get healthy again and get right back out there and start enjoying. But the Krishna conscious person is wise. They know that, what is this happiness of material life? One minute you think you're happy through Sanskrit, the next minute your senses are totally suffering like anything. Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, he's so kind that he showed that there's another happiness, which is a real happiness we can experience in loving Krishna. Of course, he became so mad in love for Krishna that we cannot even imagine how intensely his love was for Krishna, his separation for the residents of Vrindavan. But even a little drop of his love is enough to flood the consciousness of any devotee. He's so kind to give that mercy that we can experience the spiritual happiness. But it's not dependent upon the situation of the senses. Material happiness is depending on the sense. Now it's 1 week, it's going to be rainy and cold, so then if anybody had an idea of taking a vacation in sunny Georgia, forget it. I was visiting Hawaii a couple of years ago, many years ago. And they had a preaching center in some multi-story building, 26 floors, something really high up there. And they mentioned that, you know, many people, they save up for years to go on a Hawaii vacation because it costs $1,000 a person. So save up a couple of thousand dollars, $2,000 to $3,000, takes a family a long time. And it's, you know, it's a tropical place, so sometimes it rains. It's not always sunny in Hawaii. A lot of times it rains in Hawaii. So if it just happens to rain on the vacation time that, you know, people have been saving up for 2 years or 3 years or their whole life, is their, you know, dream vacation, go to Hawaii, happens to rain for 1 week. So they get so frustrated, they jump out of the 26th story of the buildings. It's just last week they said somebody jumped out. It's like so frustrated, the vacation was a flop. They were like dreaming about this, sunny, sitting in the sun and getting a nice sunburn in Hawaii, and then it was overcast and raining. It was too much, just jumped out the window. People are thinking that, you know, they have a perfect situation for their senses. That's what's going to make them happy. But sometimes it's a nice situation for the senses, sometimes it's not. Why be dependent upon that kind of situation? You know, but Maya is very powerful, so it always trying to say, no, you'll enjoy, just try to have this nice situation. If I have this situation, I'll be happy. But through intelligence, Prabhupada said, just like if somebody goes out in the rain and gets wet, another person can see and say, well, I'm not going to go out in the rain without an umbrella, without a raincoat. Why should I get wet? Then in that way, we have to see that so many people are suffering. Some people are happy, some people are a little happy, a little anxiety, and some people are really in distress. And it keeps changing like that. It's like seasons. So why should I just go out into the same material situation and have to suffer the same kind of change-up, same kind of difficulty? Just like why should I go in the rain and get wet? So this is where, this is yoga, this is called Krishna consciousness, it's called the Buddhi yoga. It's a yoga of intelligence. We use our intelligence and we see. So actually the devotees are the most intelligent. Because they see the material world for what it is. They're very practical about it. If somebody sometime happens to get some nice happy situation, or they know, okay, now I may be happy. But in the future, material life can always change and I can suffer some distress. So they don't get, they don't forget Krishna just because it's a little happy time. Keep remembering Krishna. Then if they get into some distress, they know that, oh, this is also the previous karmas I perform. There's distress in material life, but in the future, as things change and things get a little better, I should keep my consciousness in Krishna. So the devotees, they always keep their mind fixed in Krishna through happiness, through distress, through every situation. And then eventually when they, with the mercy of Nitya Gaura Chandra, they can actually start to experience that real happiness of Krishna consciousness. And that happiness is so profound that once somebody tastes that happiness, then material happiness doesn't have much more attraction. It just doesn't have any attraction, really. That's why it's said that for someone who's fully Krishna conscious, the example is given that the attraction of Maya is like a snake where you break the poison fangs. Normally a cobra, a snake, is very dangerous. Right? If it bites you, you're dead in 5 minutes. You have about enough time to say your prayers. Once in India, there was, of course, someone, a snake charmer got bit by a cobra, and he knew the cobra had a poison fang. Normally they break the poison fang, but somehow he didn't do it. So he took a razor blade and he just cut his arm where he got bit. And so much blood was coming out that he passed out, lost the blood. Because so much blood came out, the poison also came out. It took him to the hospital. He was in a city. Gave him a transfusion, everything, sewed up the arm, and he was able to live. But normally if you get bit by a cobra, if you're not able to just immediately get the poison out, It goes right to the nerves and you're dead in a few minutes. One old Mohammedan labor contractor that was working for building the first building in Mayapur, even the long building, he told me that when he was a young man, he was working with the British building a big airstrip near Mayapur in Dabulia. At that time, he remembered there was one British officer, and he picked up a cobra egg, and just then it hatched right in his hand, and there was this little baby, cute little baby cobra egg. My little squiggly little baby cobra, you know, just a few inches long, and he looked at this, oh, how cute, you know, he held it right up to his, you know, face to look, and then the baby cobra bit him right on the lip, died almost instantly. They're born, so the guy died right in front of his eyes from the cobra bite, baby cobra. Like a little worm, you know. So, normally the snakes are very poisonous, but if the snake charmer is normal, they know how to break the fangs and take out the poison. So if you take out the poison, then, you know, get bit by a cobra, just mean like a little, they make a little puncture in your skin, like someone jabbed you with a nail, something that won't kill you. So material life, if we actually have a taste for Krishna consciousness, it becomes like that, the poison fang is broken, it can't poison us anymore. So that's the thing we should try very seriously, to develop our taste for Krishna consciousness. We can only do that if we really absorb in serving Guru and Krishna, if we absorb in chanting Hare Krishna, if we absorb ourselves in the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we get a little special mercy and we taste some nectar on Ekadasi or a Janmashtami or some big feast day, some big festival. Some special service we're doing, we feel some ecstasy. Sometimes when you're building Rath Yatra carts and preparing for big festivals, it's so intense you have to work so hard just to make the deadlines that somehow by being fully absorbed you start getting get a taste for Krishna service. When you're in Sankirtan and put out the extra, I say in Spanish, you know, you gotta press your batteries to the max. Put the accelerator up a little bit to get the book distribution out. And sometimes one can get that taste of nectar. I found in a building Mayapur, there were some very heavy times. Prabhupada had us working double shift. He said, you are Americans, you have to work double shift. 24-hour shift he wanted, but we couldn't get any laborers to work from midnight to sunrise. So double shift was as good as we could do. Triple shift didn't work. But we only had single devotees to oversee, so we were working the double shift. The laborers were working. They had two shifts. So it was very intense. But somehow in that very intense moment, where it almost seemed like it was so intense that maybe we wouldn't be able to complete or do it. Somehow it got a special mercy, causeless mercy, to experience some of the mercy of the previous acharyas. So Krishna reciprocates. If we put ourselves out to Krishna, then he reciprocates and more than what we can expect. When the times are difficult, then Krishna, he comes and it's like a test of the devotees, gives his mercy. So you see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime he read today, the devotees, he was just feeling intense separation of the Vrijavasis, so much so that night he'd grind his teeth, he'd rub his face in the rocks, he'd be completely forgetful of his body, he'd be completely become mad. But the devotees, their duty was to protect Lord Chaitanya's body. They couldn't let Lord Chaitanya harm his body. It was too painful for them. So they had a meeting and they discussed how to protect Lord Chaitanya's body. Because he wasn't worrying about his body, he was just worrying about his devotional service. He was separation. He was feeling separation, so he was in that madness of separation. And one time, Prabhupada was walking down the stairway in Calcutta, and I remember that stairway is very funny in Calcutta. It's like a, it's never really improved much. They put marble on the temple floor. And they fixed everything else up, but even to this day, that stairway in Calcutta leading from the outside in is still kind of a crummy stairway, wooden. It's never able to, so much traffic, somehow they've never figured out how to improve it. So it's kind of like a clumsy stairway that you can easily slip on. Some of the devotees, they probably almost slipped, it seemed, and probably one of the devotees said, "Watch out," or "Be careful," or something like that. Then Prabhupada said, "I said this. I don't have. It's not my duty to watch out. My duty is simply to serve Krishna. Your disciples, you have to watch out for my body, that nothing happens to my body. But all I am concerned with is that I can serve Krishna." So, in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wasn't concerned about his body. He was just concerned about serving Krishna. At a certain intensity of devotional service, one might become even careless about their body. But the devotees, they were concerned. So then they made this plan that, okay, we're going to have Shankar Pandit stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because, and he'll see that he doesn't rub his face on the wall, he doesn't grind his teeth. So it worked. The plot worked. So in material life, people, they think that this body is theirs, so if they want to, they can misuse it. If they want to have an abortion, that's their free will. If they want to shove drugs in their veins, that's their free right. If they want to, whatever they want to do, they want to smoke cigarettes and die of cancer, that's their free right. But actually, it's not their body. It's, everything belongs to Krishna. And Krishna has given the body for them to use. Because they're misusing it, it's sinful. And therefore they had to suffer. If they use the body properly, then in a material sense they can enjoy. If they really use it properly, which is in Krishna's service, then they can leave this material body and get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. So that's what we're trying to do, is educate people that the whole world belongs to Krishna and they should use it in that consciousness. Now the modern scientists are concerned that because of man using the material nature in such an aggressive manner, they've created so many problems to the ozone layer, to the stratosphere, to the ecology balance, to nature, that now the whole world is in danger. That there could be another, just like they say in the past, there were this massive distinction, you know, extinction of life and earth according to the fossil records. I don't know what they're, Srila Prabhupada says like the end of a Kali Yuga. Well, we're in Kali Yuga now. And they're saying that, well, it's so heavy right now that the whole world could easily have all the life extinguished just because there's so much irresponsible exploitation of nature's natural features that it creates an imbalance in nature which can cause life to find it very hard to live here. So, but how to make people feel responsible? Now, if we just apply Prabhupada's formula, the Bhagavad Gita formula, that Krishna is the proprietor of the whole world. God is the proprietor. And therefore, accordingly, no one has a right to take from nature to the extent that it causes other life to suffer. Because every living creature here has a right to live because they're all given that right by God. It's not that human beings own earth. So if we had that type of consciousness, then it would be very easy to apply that through laws, through other things, and have an ecological balance. But now they're just like pleading, people, please, do something. But who's listening? Because everyone thinks, well, I get it. Purpose of life is to make as much money as you can while you're alive, and the way to do that is exploit nature to the maximum. And so on and so forth. So, you keep coming that the world problems, the individual problems, they can be solved by Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, there's a communication gap, so we have to bridge that by preaching. And to be able to preach, we had to ourselves believe it. We had to realize it. So that means that we have to thoroughly understand this philosophy and then practice it. And to really be able to preach, we should break the fangs of Maya and actually realize the happiness of Krishna consciousness. So then whatever we say would be so convincing to people because they can see
that the devotee is really happy.
There are some points that come to mind. Thinking about the snake, there's another snake that we know is Anantasesha. He's very kind to the devotees. He's very merciful. He's always serving Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya was a baby, Anantasesha came and Lord Chaitanya grabbed him and he coiled up in a big circle, and Lord Chaitanya is a 1-year-old baby, just crawling. Just laid down on Anantasesha, and Anantasesha spread his hood over the baby Chaitanya. Mother Sachi was inside the kitchen cooking some milk, came out to give some milk or something to baby Nimai. She didn't know it was Anantasesha, she just came out and saw this huge white cobra with baby Nimai laying on it, and then the cobra's head right over Nimai. He was screaming and falling, fainting on the ground. The cobra, cobra. The neighbors come running. They say, So all the devotees become completely mad in love for protecting Nimai. So Anantasesha, she got, felt compassion. The devotees are so much anxiety that he started uncoiling. That really disturbed baby Nimai. He was enjoying the nice, cool body of Anantasesha, the shade of his head. He didn't like it that he was getting dumped on the ground. So he started crawling after Anantasesha to grab him again. Where are you going? You know, the Mother Sachi, they just see the snakes crawling off, and they run and grab Nimai. Oh, Krishna saved our baby. So Anantasesha is actually kind to the devotees. But at the same time, he's always serving Krishna. So, we know that Anantasesha is expansion from Nityananda Prabhu, from Sankarshan. Sankarshan comes from Balaram, who's not different than Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is very merciful to the devotees. He gives his mercy very easily. So we pray to Nitai to get a drop of his mercy that we can have love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even like he delivered Jagai Madai, if he just gives us a little drop of that mercy, then we could be immediately Krishna conscious. Nitai go, bring on the Hare. Any question?
He is dangerous. Maharaj
Bharat
was always the stage of Bhagavatam, still he would be in that stage for a long, long time.
Well, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, it mentions that Devaki, when she saw Krishna in Narayan form, she was feeling fearful about Kamsa coming in, attacking him, out of motherly affection. So it says even the pure devotees, they feel fearful about Maya. Although, when you see a cobra, even the fangs are broken and they don't have the poison, you still wouldn't really like to get bit by the cobra. Although in actuality, the devotee is protected from the attraction of Maya. They remain careful, cautious. Because, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that this is a protection of the devotee. Not that, because the devotee gets a taste for Krishna consciousness and they're not really attracted by material sense gratification, still they're careful, they're cautious. See, the only thing is, like Bharat Maharaj, he lost his attraction. He wasn't attracted to any kingdom, opulence, or anything. But he was a little careless. That he gave so much affection to a deer, when he should have just been, at that time, he was on the home stretch, should have been really just concentrating on his, giving his affection to Krishna. He didn't consult with his guru, or anybody, that is safe to do that. He just acted out of an impulse. So, certainly we have to, even if a person's in a level of bhava or even they're in a spontaneous level, they have to govern their life with advice of sadhu, shastra, and guru. They have to be careful. At the same time, you can also use the example of Bharat, that he was careless, so he had to suffer some reaction, but eventually he did get back to Krishna. It just got delayed. It wasn't that as a deer he forgot Krishna, or when he became Jarabharat, he was really determined not to get waylaid. So we don't want to get bit by the cobra, whether it's got poison or not.
I mean, whether a dog has rabies or not, you still don't like, you know, maybe it's comforting to know it doesn't have rabies, but you don't really want to get bit by it. So we're still careful about not getting bit. But the attraction of Maya, Maya didn't really approach it from a point of trying to enjoy it, but he was just a little bit naive about getting attached to a deer. Didn't really realize that that was a danger. So he had to be very careful that Maya can take us from the front door, from the back door, from the side door, through the window, through a hole in the roof, you know, anywhere she gets a chance. Through the false ego, through the... So we may become protected from the direct assault. We always had to be careful about any kind of guerrilla tactics. Doesn't have to take a long time to get a spontaneous taste for devotional service. But even if one has, it shouldn't become puffed up and careless. Because by offenses or by carelessness, by offenses you can lose it, and by carelessness you can get delayed. Well, technically, from one point of view, it starts at sunrise and ends at sunset. But for the devotees, they follow generally from Brahma Muhurta until sunrise. But that doesn't mean like at 2 a.m. get up and take a big feast. That once you go to sleep at night, it's considered that's the end of that day. So you're not supposed to take any more grains if you wake up till the next morning after. But if you happen to come home late from some preaching or something, you hadn't ended your day yet, then you can take some grains the night before. Unless you're doing that nirjala, then you're not supposed to take grains. But it's a stricter, that's a whole... There's a lot of rules if you do it nirjala. I'm just saying the general way we practice. So generally we don't take any grains that would still be in the stomach at sunrise. So 2 hours before, and even if a person's up late, beyond 2 hours before Brahma Muhurta, you wouldn't take anything. It's tough. Why would you want to eat grains anyway that late at night? But the technical, midnight doesn't have any bearing on Vedic time. The day begins at sunrise, and it ends at sun, and the next day it begins, ends at sunrise. The problem you get is being here like in kind of more hellish places. You get further north, like in Sweden, in the winter, the sun rises at 9 or 10 a.m. and sets at 2 or 3 p.m. So you get like 3-4 hours of daylight. And in the summer, I remember I arrived, the flight was late, I arrived at 11:30 at night in Stockholm, and while we're driving to the temple at midnight, I saw the sunset. Then it rises about 1 a.m. dips down, and it never gets dark. So, because it's so crazy when you're so far north or so far south, they just kind of follow like the Mayapur time. 6 o'clock, sunrise. Otherwise you go, you can't live by that. I don't know where the cutoff point would be where you just follow 6 o'clock. The actual time is taken from sunrise to sunset. Any other question?
Just point of this question that day also. Is it offensive if you do any kind of service with love, with really love and devotion to the deities, and if you make any particular wrong thing while doing puja or whatever, with love and devotion, you don't know what you're doing, is it offensive?
Krishna may overlook an offense out of his causeless mercy. Someone very innocently makes the offense. But technically it's still an offense. It's just up to Krishna that he might overlook it.
There is an action because in Jagannath Puri, in the Rath Yatra time, they do all such nonsense things with Jagannath. They, while bringing him from the altar, they kick him, they do all the things. And they said with the love, and because they're too much close to Jagannath, they can do whatever they want.
You know, Jagannath's traditions in Jagannath Puri are beyond our scope of commentation. Ramanujacharya went there and he started to complain that started to change things And then Jagannath threw him away from Jagannath Puri and tossed him to Korma Dish. So the Jagannath Puri Pandas like to say that. But whether they're following, you know, they may have overstepped or not, but I'm not in a position to make a commentary. I don't want to get thrown away 3,000 miles in. There are books written. They have their own set of rules and regulations. They have their set of customs, which are unique. And I've heard from Pandas that they don't really follow those. But those customs are definitely a lot different than the customs that Ramanuja would follow in South India. So whether that following today, even the worship that is authorized for Jagannath, I don't know. I don't know who can analyze that. We know that there's the time when Jagannath is with, leaving the temple, he's worshipped by the Savaras. So there's a separate group of servitors that take him. And there's different pastimes like Hira Panchami, where the representatives of Lakshmi tie up servants of Jagannath and abuse them. There's many kind of far out traditions about worship. It's definitely reliving a lot of different pastimes. I heard that they have a person that drives the horses of the chariot. He sits there with a whip, and the whole time he's swearing at the horses, you know, using, you know, "You lazy good for nothing, get your moving," you know. That's like part of the thing. They have one guy sitting there with a whip whipping these little paper mache horses and swearing at them. As a charioteer would do, you know, in actual life, apparently they tend to get heavy with the horses. You know. I don't know. So they have all kind of little traditions, you know, and maybe they've speculated and added some. Maybe they're all going, it's like an ocean. We're just now got the books that we're trying to install some of the, we have 56 offerings at Jagannath temple in Mayapur. And we're trying to do a worship of Jagannath so that he feels at home there. I didn't come across anywhere where it says you kick Jagannath. I don't know. But it seems pretty far out. I never heard that before. There is a book, though, and it's a very big book about the different timings, and it's definitely a different system. I mean, they offer offerings all the time, many offerings, big opulent offerings, and many different festivals with different dresses. They change Jagannath in 24 beshas, Padma Besha, Ganesha Besha, Ganapati Ganesha, you know, different, like elephant dress, lotus dress, golden dress. You know, we just have one or two in Mayapur. We have the elephant dress. Yeah, with the nose. It's pretty far out. They have the Padma lotus, the lotus and elephant. I mean, but there's like 24 different ones you can get. So maybe later when we have a chance to study, we got just recently the book, and maybe we'll say if any customs they're doing, or you can ask the Pandas there. They're the best people to tell you. The Pandas often criticize. They say they're not following. They're supposed to do it at 2 o'clock. They're doing it at 4. They're supposed to do it. Actually, there are rules and regulations. They're definitely different than Ramanuja's style of worship in South India. It's a much more spontaneous kind of a worship, but I don't think you can. It's such a unique situation, Jagannath Puri, and to a large degree, they've taken advantage of Jagannath's mercy. Like, Jagannath Puri is a holy dham, so it says even if you eat fish there, it's the same as being a vegetarian. So a lot of people eat fish. But then, like, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the point is that a devotee is not a vegetarian, he's a prasadarian, because we want to only eat prasada. So actually, we don't eat vegetarian, but we eat Krishna prasada. So therefore, devotees shouldn't eat fish. They should only eat Krishna prasada. Otherwise, how they'll get love of Godhead? They won't get love of Godhead by eating non-prasada. So there are certain unique things about Jagannath Puri, but they stretch it to the maximum. And they don't really... So you find a lot of pujaris, whether they have love of God is highly questionable. Or you can say it's not a question at all. So we have to follow our own Guru Parampara. You know, they have their own tradition, but we follow our Guru Parampara. Prabhupada said if we built another Jagannath Puri temple, go in front of the existing one and chant Hare Krishna, Jagannath will walk over with us to the new temple. So now when I saw the Jagannath play by Tamakrishna Maharaj, and I really felt inspired that we have to do it. Subsequently, I kind of forgot. Occasionally I get reminded. Build exact duplicate Puri temple and go in front of the temple and chant. Really get the pandas worried. Whatever Prabhupada said is absolute. We have faith. Jagannath will come. Time over.